One kind of show that I like, and I suspect a lot of you do, are the murder mysteries. And a lot of the theme, or it happens a lot, the old patriarch dies or is getting ready to die, and he changes the will in secret. And that causes a lot of confusion, lawsuits, you know, and big thing, who benefits? The new will, is it the new trophy wife? Is it what? And that becomes a motive for murder. We're going to talk a little bit about wills, or the biblical word is covenant, and God's unchanging promise. So please take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 3. And a little background, the book of Galatians is Paul's writing to these churches that he evangelized on his first missionary journey. And he's having to defend the gospel and his apostleship because people called Judaizers, but Jewish legalists, we might say, had come in behind and had started insisting that, oh yeah, Jesus is important, but you have to keep the Mosaic law, especially circumcision. And so in this section, chapters 3 and 4, Paul has been describing the gospel, giving some in-depth biblical, experiential definitions of doctrine. And so if you were here last week, last time, Paul had talked about the curse of the law, and it's only removed by faith in Christ. And so now he's turning to a very important section again. We might call it a salvation historical argument, you know, going through time, and especially with regard to circumcision, you know, that big topic for the Judaizers, and Paul's having to refute their arguments about the importance of circumcision, with regard to our standing before God. So Galatians 3, we will look at just 4 verses 15 through 18. And so follow along, please. And Paul's making that argument about the priority of the Abrahamic covenant versus the Mosaic, the temporary nature of the Mosaic covenant. So verse 15, brethren. So now he's back to calling them brothers and sisters. Back in verse 1 of chapter 3, he said, you foolish Galatians. So now there's a little more pastoral tone. I, you know, pastors, we shouldn't be nice. We should be, you foolish Lake Georgians. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, or I'm going to give you an everyday example or a human example. Though it is only a man's covenant or will, that same word can be used on the horizontal level as a will, but the biblical term probably better is covenant, God's covenants, but a will is like man's covenants. And so he says, though it's only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed or ratified, you know, the old patriarch, the old grumpy, you know, guy with all the money died. And once he died, the will is ratified, confirmed, then no one can annul or add to it. You can't get rid of it. You know, the family might fight against that new trophy wife, or the one time this word is used, or add what we might say in the legal terminology today, codicils. It's done. It's ratified. Verse 16. And this is sort of a parenthesis. So he's talking about covenants. Now he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So he's making an argument based on that word seed. Way back in Genesis 12, what Calvin read in Genesis 23, 22, in Genesis 21, verse 12, I believe it is, God had told Abraham, in Isaac, your seed will be called. And so, if man's covenants and his will are inviolable, you know, they can't be changed, how much more God's promises? You know, that's why we sang, Great is thy faithfulness. And so these promises of Abraham ultimately, you know, through the Jewish people, physically culminate in Christ. And so Paul is giving the spiritual reality behind all that, all the seed, the genealogies, all those things. More on that in a minute. Verse 17, now back to his argument. And this I say, that the law, the Mosaic law, which was 430 years later, so after Abraham, you know, the sojourn in Egypt, when they came out, Mount Sinai, the Mosaic law, was 430 years later, according to Jewish rabbinic teachings, but biblically, you know, those are dates that are given. And so that law cannot annul or cancel the covenant, same word as that, you know, that will up above, cannot cancel the covenant that was confirmed before God. Now, in my translation, it adds, in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So, in other words, Moses' law doesn't cancel the promise which preceded it temporally, and more importantly, priority-wise, the promise to Abraham that God unilaterally gave him supersedes or encompasses everything after that. So you can sort of see maybe these Judaizers, these Jewish legalists were coming in saying, oh yeah, Abraham's important, but it's the same as Mosaic law. And Mosaic law, after all, Abraham got circumcised, and so you need to be circumcised. And Paul is saying, no, the promise to Abraham takes priority. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, and that's part of the Abrahamic covenant, was land, seed, descendants, and the blessing. And so the land is very important in the ancient Near East, and even today, the land of Israel. So if the inheritance, which includes the land, is of the law, the Mosaic law, it is no longer of promise. So in other words, God didn't make the promise and the promise of the land, that blessing, through the law. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And that word gave, the root of the Greek word there is grace. So it was given by grace to Abraham by promise. So, you know, you can see the opponent saying, oh yeah, Jesus, sure, we believe in Jesus. Abraham, yeah, he's important. But Abraham got circumcised. The Mosaic law is just as important as what God promised Abraham. And Paul says, no, you're missing the progress of salvation, if nothing else. You know, Abraham by faith goes through the Mosaic law, culminating in Christ. So what are some points we should look at? Well, first of all, that word seed. Genesis 3:15, so way back, right after the sin in the Garden of Eden, God says, I, God, will put enmity, hatred, or strife between you, Satan, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed, you know, the satanic seed, you know, we might say evil forces throughout history. Some of your translations, most of your translations use the word offspring, but seed is the Jewish word zora, or in Hebrew and Greek, it's spermata, sperm. So that's where we get the word sperm for, you know, the male seed, if you will. So I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, serpent, and her seed. Now, in my translation, they capitalize the S because they're sort of forcing you to realize that ultimate seed, of course, is Christ. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So that word seed can be used based on context. That's what's called a collective singular noun. You know, seed is a singular word, but it talks about descendants, so a whole collective. So all the genealogies in the Old Testament, that is the seed of the woman. And that's why you get all those begats. And they're very important, even though we don't have a lot of stimulating sermons on them. But, you know, tracing the genealogies of all people and then narrowing it down to Abraham and the Jewish people. So the Jewish people throughout time, culminating, of course, in that par excellence, we might say, the greatest seed of the woman, the Jewish line of the Jews, Messiah. Here, this is free, but Genesis, you want to win a game show. Genesis 3:15 is the root verse for all anti-Semitism. So Satan does not like the Jewish people. And of course, Satan does not like the ultimate Jew, Jesus, and his followers. Satan doesn't like you. I don't like you either, but Satan, but you know, right there is the spiritual reality between Satan's seed, you know, the evil forces of, you know, turn on the news, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, you know, all these people, just why can't they get along? Well, Genesis 3:15 says it ain't going to happen. And that Genesis 3:15 is also sometimes called the first evangel, the first mention of the gospel. So there it is being announced way back in Genesis 3 that Satan, the seed, evil, sin, darkness, will ultimately be crushed only by that ultimate seed of the woman. So for another verse, Genesis 21:12, I mentioned this, you know, how the seed can be narrowed down. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. In other words, if you remember, Abraham was like, oh, let Ishmael be my heir. And God says, no, I've got other plans. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her. For in Isaac, your seed shall be called. So Isaac was the chosen descendant by which the messianic line would come. So the seed is very important. And then just in general biblical covenants, that's a huge topic. I'm just going to skim over it very quickly. But a covenant, and if you want more, last summer we had an asterisks class on it. It's still on the website, all the covenants and how they are put together and the importance. But a covenant, a definition is a covenant defines or establishes a relationship. And two of the important components of a covenant, there was a meal, they would eat together, and there's an oath. And then some of the obligations and covenants, you know, there's agreement from the superior, you know, ultimately God, to the inferior. The promise is unconditional. Grace, we say. And perpetual for eternity. From our responsibilities, or the inferior back to the superior, you know, so you could even think the king of a country. What do I owe them? Well, I owe them allegiance and the enjoyment of the blessings. the king, the great king, God promises to do that. That's unconditional. But if we want to enjoy those benefits, our obedience conditions how we enjoy that. So it's conditional on our obedience with regard to enjoying those blessings. So that's just covenants in general. And here's a chart, if you will. This is from an Old Testament class I had in graduate school from Dr. Averbeck. But notice they look like nests. And it's starting on the bottom here. You have creation, then, the micro creation as far as, creating the man and the woman, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and then in the garden was the fall, and these are my scribbly notes, but the Noahic covenant, remember the covenant with Noah, the rainbow is the sign? The Noahic covenant stabilized creation. Things were perfect down here, then along came, not done quite yet. And so the disruption of the flood, but God gave the covenant, the Noahic covenant, never again will I destroy the earth. And that, if you will, stabilizes all these nests. So then within the stabilized now universe, you get the redemptive covenants, redemption, salvation. And so you start with Abraham, then Moses, then Davidic, and then the new covenant. The Noahic covenant stabilized, like I said. The Abrahamic covenant was that personal covenant with God making the promise to Abraham and his family. And in him, all the nations, including us Gentiles, would be blessed. And so the historical foundation of the redemption of Israel and all people starts with Abraham. In fact, in verse 8 of Galatians, Paul had said, "And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed." So the importance of the promise to Abraham, Paul is leaning very heavily on that. Because next came the Mosaic covenant. That was a national covenant under the umbrella of, like these nests, Abraham, then the Mosaic covenant. And so the constitution for Israel, Old Testament Israel, the theocracy. And so Israel had national rest in the midst of the nations. But that umbrella of the Mosaic covenant calls for Abrahamic faith. It always, faith was required, even for Israel. They didn't just keep a bunch of laws that showed their obedience, but they had to have that faith of Abraham. Then the Davidic covenant, that's a dynasty under the umbrella of Abraham, and the Mosaic, because the Davidic king had to have Abrahamic faith and had to keep the laws of the Mosaic covenant. So that's why you had good kings and bad kings throughout Israel's history. And then after the Davidic covenant, the culmination is the new covenant, a community of all saved people in Christ, that ultimate seed of the Jewish Abraham, the Jewish people, Mosaic law, kept the law perfectly, the ultimate descendant of King David. And so all the covenants are fulfilled in that new covenant. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here, that the Mosaic law was important for its purpose in the life of Israel. But for you Galatians, or anybody for that matter, the priority goes to Abraham. Faith. By faith, you are made right with God. Not by doing. I mean, that seems like such a easy thing. You know, oh, sure, I know that. But churches get that wrong all the time. They forget about the unilateral promise of God. We would rather do something to help God out. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. So the new covenant, then I said there was meal, you know, to ratify, there was a meal and an oath. Well, the new covenant then is, the meal is the Lord's Supper. That's an important part of why there is a meal. And, of course, then the oath of God and what Jesus did on the cross. So this is a covenant written, if you will, in Jesus' blood.